Welcome to Lung Cancer Update. This is medical oncologist Dr. Neil Love. One of the key clinical research developments in the last 5 years in management of non-small cell lung cancer has been the rapid evolution of the use of adjuvant systemic therapy. And several months ago, a major practice guideline on adjuvant therapy was published in the JCO jointly by Cancer Care Ontario and ASCO. Dr. Mark Criss was co-author on this historic paper, and I met with him to discuss this and other recent developments in the field. Dr. Criss began our conversation by commenting on the extensive deliberations of the adjuvant guideline group and their key conclusions.
The first thing was the unanimity of the group that adjuvant therapy, particularly adjuvant cisplatin-based chemotherapy, improves survival. And to get that message out, I think everybody agreed that that was the important message. And people felt very strongly that that needs to be put out there as a standard of care. Of course, the devil is in the details. I think there was very uniform agreement that the data was strong for stage 3A and for stage 2. And to a person, folks were very clear about stating that this is a standard of care and should be followed, and I think the guidelines reflect that. As you read the guidelines, though, you'll see areas where the recommendations are not quite as strong. I think the first one is in the area of stage 1B disease. The truth is there was only one clinical trial that specifically addressed that group, and it did not show a benefit. Conversely, all the other trials that did show a benefit, their primary endpoint was improvement in 5-year survival in the entire study population. So for the Canadian trial, the BR10, the IALT trial, the ANITA trial, all those trials included stage 1B patients in the population of patients they considered candidates for adjuvant therapy. And all three of those trials were convincingly positive. When you pull out the subgroups, though, from those trials and do a subgroup analysis, the magnitude of benefit for the different stages is different. The smallest is for 1B, the largest is for 3A. And so to prove the significance of benefit of chemo in those various groups, you need a lot more patients in the 1B group, and you didn't have that.
And of course, we saw this evolve over 20 years in breast cancer, where initially the trials and the node-negative patients were negative, and it got to be an events thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's absolutely analogous to that. So what we were left with in stage 1B is, because they were included in the overall group, I think people felt strongly to recommend adjuvant therapy. However, when you do that subgroup analysis, it's not clearly beneficial, at least in terms of a p-value. And that's the reason for the recommendation that you see. I think people felt strongly that you should think about it in every patient, but you can't uniformly say everybody should have it, probably because of the lack of data specifically in that group.
It was interesting the way you guys actually worded it. With 1A, adjuvant chemo is not recommended. 1B, adjuvant cis-based chemotherapy is not recommended for routine use. And then 2A and beyond is recommended.
Yeah. I think it's more a reflection of the adequacy of the data that we had. There was virtually no data to suggest that treatment would be helpful in 1A. The very few trials that addressed it in sort of different settings failed to show any benefit for that. But 1B, again, was one that the data was, though there was no specific data for cisplatin-based chemotherapy from a trial designed to treat that group, there was that data as part of the larger groups.